Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from today's Holy Gospel found in Mark chapter 1. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." This is God's word. If you haven't noticed, we are in an age right now that hates the church, that hates you for being here and saying the very words you've said already this morning. "I believe in God, the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit, Holy Christian Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins." The world hates you for that. They hate your presence here. They hate the words of Christian faith that spill forth from your lips. Now, that's not anything new. History has always been filled with those who hate the people of God, but that doesn't diminish the reality of what we face as God's people in the world today. And some things have changed for us. There was a time not long ago when virtually everyone had a connection to a church or a congregation. Even if it was a business owner just saying, "Oh yeah, I belong to Trinity Lutheran," or "I belong to First Presbyterian," or "I belong to this and this church." It was maybe beneficial in the community to have a connection to a place of worship. Not so today. There are many who will freely say they believe that God is a bunch of nonsense. They believe that Christians are a bunch of judgmental hypocrites. They believe our society would be better off without you. Time goes on and we hear more and more stories of lawsuits that affect us as Christians, especially Christian business owners who are under attack because they won't bake a wedding cake or photograph a certain wedding. Court decisions that impact our religious freedom, our ability to gather and conduct our business as God's people. And more legislation that strips away our religious liberty. You might think because one political party has power and another doesn't that perhaps we're safe. Keep in mind, the enemies of the church are always at work. And I think one of the things that has changed is in this age of social media, of Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and information at our fingertips 24/7, everyone has a voice. Everyone can speak what's on their mind and in their hearts. And a lot of times what's on the minds and hearts of many people is hatred for the Word of God. Ridicule for someone who professes to be a Christian. So I ask you, why is that? Why do so many people hate the church? Some argue that's the church's fault because the church is indeed full of judgmental hypocrites. There's a little bit of truth to that. We are hypocrites after all, called to live by God in one way, yet guilty of sin. There are sins that the church has been guilty of, whether it's priest abuse of children or whether it's unfair judgment of a person that was not justified. But at its core, the reason so many people reject the church is because of a word that occurs in our Holy Gospel today. And that word is authority. Because when someone has authority over you, it means you answer to someone else other than yourself. Now, some would say that every age of history has a pet sin. Some might say that this age's pet sin is sexual perversion, sexual sin, the disintegration of marriage as an institution between one man and one woman, becoming all these different things. But I would argue that really the sin that infects every age, every period of human history, every person is self-deception. worship. It's idolatry. Every sin is ultimately a sin against the first commandment. That first commandment that says, you shall have no other gods. Luther says, what does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. In other words, he has the authority. He has the final word. He has the direction for how you, as a child of God, are to live your life. And when God has the authority, when God is in control, that means I'm not. Our culture has really played into this love of the self in this age. Some of you who know me know that I'm kind of an Apple product geek. I love iPhones and iPads and all those different things. Just think of those names, though. iPad, iPhone, iPod. A device, a market that's captured in on a device that's for you to do the things that you want, to put yourself in control of the information that's at your fingertips. I think it was Burger King who said that you could have it your way. Walk in and ask for whatever you wanted. Capitalize on that with my friends. Senior in high school, we'd go in at 9 o'clock at night and have them make us French toast sticks. Have it your way, right? Perhaps there's no other indication of our love of ourselves in our day and age than the thing you find all over Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook, the selfie. The belief that no one wants to see anything more than a picture of me. Guilty, I've taken them as well. Perhaps like no generation before us, we idolize ourselves. And the problem that Christianity presents is that it gives us authority over us. We don't answer to ourselves. We don't live based on our own desires and wants and our own pleasure. We answer to God and His holy word. In Romans 13, St. Paul writes that there is no authority except from God. And in Matthew 28:20, Jesus makes the bold claim, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Christianity makes the claim that Jesus has authority over you. Jesus' word is the final word. And the world does not like that. Now, we have to make a distinction here that I think is important, I think is often lost. The difference between authority and power, which are two very, very different things. Power is inherent. It's something that you, by nature, have over someone else. If a bug were to walk in front of me, I have the power to step on it and crush it. But I do not have the authority to strike out in violence, to speak out in hatred over anyone I wish. Authority is given. Authority comes from someone else, and it's bestowed on you. And as the scriptures remind us, it comes from God. It's given to His Son, Jesus Christ, and bestowed on whomever they deem should receive it. Today in our gospel, we read that those gathered in the synagogue were astonished at his teaching, at Jesus' teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And then after he casts out the unclean spirit from a man in the synagogue, they say, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Jesus has authority over all things. His word is our authority, and the world struggles under that authority. truth be told, we struggle under that authority. Because you see, when you worship yourself, when you're concerned about what feels good, what's best for me, what pleases me, that's a life lived in rebellion. But the worship of Christ asks itself, what is faithful? What's best for my neighbor? What pleases God instead of pleasing myself? That's life lived under authority. All of us as sinful people are anarchists. We would love it if there were no claim made upon us that you're a sinner. And that's what the world hates, being told you are a sinner. We hate it as well. Who loves to hear you are poor, miserable, wretched sinners? And yet, it's the poor, miserable, wretched sinners who find their Savior. Who find a Savior who offers them life, forgiveness, and salvation. Because you see, here's the thing about authority. We had a long discussion about this in confirmation class on Wednesday. When you have authority over someone, and nearly all of us have authority in some way. Children don't necessarily have authority unless their parents give them a responsibility they have to see over. But then in that case, authority is given to them. Parents have authority over their children. Teachers have authority over their students. Police have authority over the public to keep it safe. Government has authority over society and the laws that it makes to keep order and to protect us. With authority comes responsibility. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, there's this verse that blows people's minds. One of the things that the world hates about the church is the way it talks about men and women, actually affirming that they're different. And it says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Of course, the world says, my God, this is terrible! Such patriarchal language, such chauvinistic mindset St. Paul had. What Paul is saying is that every husband has a responsibility to look after the well-being of his wife and his family. And when a wife submits to that, she recognizes it. She says, my husband has a responsibility, and I'm not going to be an obstacle to him being faithful in keeping that responsibility. That's what authority is. It means you have been entrusted with something. When you have authority, you are entrusted with something by God. Jesus, who has all authority, has a responsibility as well. He has a responsibility toward you. To, like a husband is responsible toward his wife to make sure that she is kept in the faith and their family, here's the word of God, something that quite honestly all too many men in our culture have completely abandoned. Jesus likewise has a responsibility and authority to make sure that you are kept holy in his righteous blood, that you are cleansed from your sin. That when God his Father looks upon you, he sees you as holy, righteous, and perfect. That's the authority Jesus has been given. That's the authority that his word has. That's the authority that is over you. It's for your care, for your well-being, for your salvation. God has given his Son authority over us, a bunch of idol worshipers, whose number one love as sinful people is to worship ourselves. And God would be justified, he certainly has the authority, to use his power to judge us for all eternity, to send us to hellfire and damnation. But instead, he shows mercy. He gives his Son authority to carry the weight of the world's sins, to carry your sins to his cross and pay for them in his holy, precious blood. As he commands the unclean spirits to be silent and to come out, he commands you to come and hear his teaching of forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation from the devil's grasp. Because you see, to be under Jesus' authority means to be under his grace, to be under his love, to know that your sins are washed away and paid for in full. That's what the world can't grasp. It's what the world doesn't like. And it's what we don't like often as well. To know that someone has authority over us. But thanks be to God, the one who has authority over us does not strike out at us in the power of judgment, but covers us in the love of the forgiveness of sins. You, dear friends in Christ, have gathered here this day, I would assume, to hear a teaching that has authority, that has a hold over you, that speaks a word that benefits you. Our Lord gives you that word. He says, "Hear my voice, follow me, and know the love that my Father has for you. Know that you, as sinful people, are forgiven, and that this word endures and remains forever and ever. To Jesus, our Lord and Savior, be all authority, power, and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.